When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Mary Schmeek wrote the other day in the Chicago Tribune about Meghan Markle's single mom, who was, of course, at the royal wedding. And the headline in Schmeek's column was, "A Chicago woman's poem on Markle's single mom goes viral." Let's face it, Mary Schmeek is the journalist poet laureate of the city of Chicago. So if Mary calls out your poem, you're doing something right. The poem was by Leslie Honoré, and her poem went in part, "For the Dorias of the world, who will sit alone at graduations and weddings, at baseball games and school plays, at proms and awards ceremonies, who will carry the load of everything, wiping tears and celebrating school projects and first heartbreaks, who stay up all night helping write papers and college apps, the mother who silently creates a universe for her children, launching pads to toss them into the solar system with hands wide open to grab all the stars their hearts desire. The Dorias who always leave space for a father's redemption, knowing it may never come because they have spent a lifetime patching their children back together, picking up the crushed spirits, rebuilding them with love. This is for the Dorias." And then later she wrote about the children, and for the children who have watched their mothers make a life out of thin air, a dollar out of 15 cents, who have seen ceilings shattered, barrios leapt over, and are covered in black girl magic. They know that there is no limit to their dreams, to success, that hard work can't achieve. At the very end, the poem says, "For the Dorias, free-spirited and strong, who know they are never alone, who know there is a matriarchal militia marching with them, I raise my glass to all of us. Salute." The woman that wrote that is sitting right here. Wow. Well done.
Thank you. I'm still in awe of the fact that you read my poem right now.
I read most of it. It's every word of it really terrific. So you were watching the royal wedding, and what were you thinking?
First, I was just, it was a fun moment. It was something I remembered waking up with my mom to watch Princess Diana get married, and then my 18-year-old and I watched Kate get married. And so the girls and I watching Meghan, you know, and just seeing all the representation, being biracial and seeing reflections of me and my children and Meghan. And then the moment that we were all waiting for, our first glimpse of her, and all I could look at was Doria. All I could look at was her and think about how she was feeling in that moment.
How do you think she was feeling? Was she sad? Was she happy? What was she?
I think she was proud. I think a lot of times people look at single parents and automatically assume there's sadness or there's heaviness by the time, you know, you get to adulthood with your children and you've been doing it alone. The heaviness is not always there. It is a double-edged sword. Victories you can take all the glory for, and failures, they're all yours too. There's no one else to toss it off to.
So were you writing this to her? I mean, it is for the Dorias. So what are you telling her besides what I just read?
That we see her, that we know the journey that everyone isn't seeing. We're all, you know, reveling in the beauty and the majesty of the wedding, but all those simple moments, all of the milestones, all of the little things that you do with your children, for your children, to get to these great moments, whether they're on a, you know, global platform or marching across a stage.
What can prepare you for that, though, right? I mean, most of us are happy with a nice wedding at the VFW hall. And there you are on this global stage. That must have been surreal to her.
Yeah, I cannot imagine the fortitude it took. First, not to just, I'm a crier. So the fact that she wasn't like bawling I was just in awe of that. Like, she got through the whole ceremony without like losing it.
I wonder if she had that moment. She must have, right?
I would assume.
I think the queen did.
No, she does not.
I don't think the queen cries. I don't think those tear ducts live. But
I've watched both seasons of The Crown, and I'm an expert on her now, and I can assure you that she has never.
Even when she was younger. The Crown is one of the great TV series that you can
genius.
Watch. If you have not watched The Crown, watch it, enjoy it. And I'm not a Britla. I'm not a royal file like you are, I guess. You're into this sort of stuff, huh?
I am. I love the pomp and circumstance.
So you write the poem. You post it on your Facebook page. What I happens?
It started growing really quickly. And I post lots of my writing on my page. And this one, it was just exploding all over the place.
People were sharing it, liking it.
Sharing it, liking it. The comments and the inboxes of other mothers saying, thank you for writing for us, too. That is what blew me away.
They're covered in Black Girl Magic. What is that?
Black Girl Magic, I think, is a hashtag that a lot of Black women have been using for a while that just kind of describes Black women and women of color's ability to find magical moments, beautiful moments, moments of victory, when we know so many of the odds are stacked against us. We know the barriers are so high for us. So we're really celebratory when we are victorious in them.
I get that. What's the father's redemption all about in this poem?
I think it's hard whether you've gone through divorce or whether there has been abandonment, and not just, you know, for mothers, but for single fathers, too, where you always hope, you want the best for your children. And if there is points of conflict, you want there to be redemption. You want there to be healing. You want your children to be able to have everything you think they deserve, both parents. But deep down, sometimes, you know, it may not happen.
I read that to mean, though, that they're not dumping on the father who's not there.
Not at all. No. I mean, you can't. You can't live in that space at the same time. You can't live in a space of bitterness and a space of love simultaneously.
And how does that serve your children?
Exactly. You can't. It does not. It does them a great disservice.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about what you do for a living, besides, because this is not what pays the bills.
This is not.
And yet, what a great job you have relative to this avocation.
I have a great job.
You'll tell Les about that in a minute. Leslie Honoré wrote that poem that maybe you've heard about. Mary Schmeek wrote about it. Now it's got 60,000 likes or whatevers.
Yes.
On the internet. Leslie Honoré wrote that poem about Meghan Markle's mom. And it is, what's the title of the poem? Is it For the Dorias of the World?
Yes.
For the Dorias of the World. Doria, the first name of Meghan Markle's mother. You're also a poet. Fist and Fire is a collection of your poems. I have that
in front
of me. I'll post more about this on my Facebook page. What do you do for a living?
I'm the executive director of the Clio Center.
What is that?
The Clio Center is a nonprofit on the south side of Chicago. We were founded about 10 years ago. Our founder, Tori Barrett's sister, was murdered due to domestic violence, and he created the Clio Center to help women with domestic violence. In the 10 years since, we've really grown to be a pillar in the community, and what we do now is a lot of youth programming, outreach, mentoring, but our focus is really to help our kids process the trauma that they experience in this world and do it through the arts. So we have performing arts program, music programs.
Really?
Yes.
So kids on the south side, west side?
South side. We're in Washington Park. Yeah. So the south side of Chicago, right there in the heart of it.
You said to me before we went on the air, not every kid is an academic or an athlete. So what means of expression do they have?
Exactly. Some of our kids are artists. And what we've seen in schools is the systematic cutting back of programming that allows our kids to express themselves with agency and autonomy and freedom and the things that we know are so important to all of our developments. We all need something that makes us feel alive, that speaks to our spirit. And that's what art does.
Or enables us to express ourselves.
Yeah.
And so if you can't do it on the basketball court or in the classroom because you get good grades and that gives you some sort of validation or victory, what else can you do? Well, maybe you could be an artist. Maybe you could paint. Maybe you can draw. Maybe
exactly.
You could be a poet. And yet we just don't even think about that as an option for these kids.
No, we don't. And that's what they need. And they're desperate for it. And when you see their eyes light up, when they're given an opportunity to do it, and it's no rules. You paint what you want to paint. Write what you want to write. Sing, dance, do what you are inspired to do.
Yeah.
It's magical.
You know, you mentioned dance. In Donald Glover's new music video, I thought, this is one of the rare times where I felt like dance had its own vocabulary.
Didn't
that
it?
It was a means of saying something, and that I could read it, I could see it, you know?
Yeah. It's the things that sometimes you don't always need language to connect to. It's
so
beautiful.
Do you teach kids poetry, then?
Yes. So we actually have an open mic tonight that is going to be a safe space for our youth. It starts from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Yeah, what does it sound like? Is it like a slam? Is it is it rap? How does it sound?
It is whatever the kids want it to be.
And so what do they bring to the microphone?
They bring sometimes rap, sometimes they bring dance, sometimes they bring poems, sometimes they bring songs, sometimes they just bring an idea or a problem. It's just a safe space for them to be able to share and to own it, and it to be led by them. And that's where they really need to be, in a space that's theirs.
And they get so many minutes in front of the microphone.
Yeah,
they do their
3
thing.
Minutes.
Really? And
three
then everybody
minutes.
Applauds and cheers.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone to some of the storytelling events in Chicago, like Moth and others lately. And some of the stories are great, and some of them positively are not. And yet everybody cheers and encourages these people. And I think, I don't know what this is, but it's certainly a positive, nurturing experience.
Sometimes it's not cheering the art. Sometimes it's cheering the courage to get in front of your peers and share what you feel is important to you.
LeslieHonore.com is your website.
It is.
L-E-S-L-E, LeslieHonore. Think honor with an E, LeslieHonore.com. I'll post a link to your work on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John there. Nice going on the poem.
Thank you.
Nice going on the Monday through Friday 8 to 5 thing, too.
Thank you. It's a beautiful thing to be able to merge them both.
If folks wanted to reach out to or find out more about the center.
About the Clio Center, we have a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter page. They can go to Clio Center on any of those three. They can come by if you want to donate time, volunteer. Our doors are always open to people who want to keep loving each other, and that's what Clio stands for.
They probably wouldn't mind it if you wrote them a check. ClioCenter.com,
C-L-E-O.
K-L-E-O Center.
Yes, it stands for keep loving each other, and that's what we think is going to change things, love.
Come back and visit with us again, Leslie.
Anytime.
And keep writing, for goodness sakes. It's 157. This is WGN.